Everybody, welcome to this episode of the Disc Golf Answer Man. I am Bobby Cool Daddy Slick Breeze. Welcome to this episode where I interview Tyler Brickley. Now, you might know Tyler Brickley from DGA. You've probably seen him in some of the DGA commercials, the Super Fair comparison ads he's done on YouTube and social media. So I've known Tyler Brickley for quite some time. I know he's been in disc golf for about 15 years, doing stuff on his own, creating content, and then working for DGA as a social media manager. And you'll learn a little bit about what's going on with him now. So I had seen on YouTube, someone had posted a video called The Most 15 Hilarious / Cringeworthy Commercials in Disc Golf. A couple of mine were in that, and a couple of Tyler Brickley's was in there. And I was like, wow, I actually haven't talked to Tyler in quite a while. So I said, hey, you want to get on the show and just kind of use the show as a way for me and you to catch up on what's going on in our lives? And I found out about something he's doing called the Kindness Mob. And I thought, that's interesting. So anyway, this is the interview between me and Tyler. So enjoy. So as I said, I was tagged, I believed, in a YouTube video, or at least someone's pointed it out to me, that said top 15 most hilarious cringeworthy videos, and so or commercials. And so I saw in the thumbnail was an old commercial that I had done with Dynamic Disc, black and white. I think it was from, what was that show where they would go fishing for, was it just called crab fishing or crab something? Where it was a Discovery Channel.
Life with Crabs. The Aftermath.
The Aftermath.
I think it was like a Health Channel show.
Yeah. No, it was like a show where they went fishing on a boat and they were fishing for crabs.
Oh, yeah. Like Wild Alaska or like
something like that. And it was super popular. Yeah. Anyway, they had a promo for one of their for their upcoming season. And I remember watching that. I was like, I could make that something into like a disc golf commercial for Dynamic Discs. And I did. And at the time, I thought it was pretty interesting. But now when I look back at it, it's got kind of a cult shtick to it. So I saw that. And then I saw one of your ads on there for DGA. And I thought, I haven't talked to Tyler in a long time. I want to have him on the show. So I reached out to Tyler Brickley. So, Tyler Brickley, how are you doing?
And once we got the fee
you know, sorted, settled, right? Lawyers involved.
We had to go back and forth for a couple weeks. And we eventually decided that I'm not worth anything.
Right.
And so I should just do the show for free.
Right.
We could have skipped all that.
Right.
Now I've got lawyer fees.
Ugh. Those are horrible.
Well, hang on. Because two things. One, I think we're very similar, Bobby, because that's how I approach making ads, too. Like, it's almost always inspiration from something else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you're watching it on a show or you see a different, you know, like, a different industry where somebody makes something funny and you're like, oh my gosh, I could do that. The greatest disc golf story ever told wasn't my idea, you know, where I did the all in one take. There's 120 disc golfers' names as puns, right?
That video. Yeah.
That was a hunting video. There was a guy who has a funny hunting video channel and he did the greatest fishing story ever told or the greatest hunting story ever told or something.
Now, does it immediately are you actively seeking out when you're like thinking, okay, I need an idea for a commercial, or you're like, let's watch a few ads? Or is it like you're just casually watching an episode of Friends and an ad pops up and you're like, I could apply that to disc golf?
I don't know if you're the same way. There's two ways that we get ideas, and one is just an intrusive thought like that, and another is a planned, like based on a need. And I've done it so long, it doesn't take long. That's why I tell everybody that I've ever collabed with or worked with, like the ideas are so, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
Like you and me could take the next 5 minutes and come up with five really funny disc golf commercial ideas for Clash Discs, right? It's just like, it's the implementation that's the hard part. So a laptop and a coffee shop and 30 minutes, you know, and you can make something if you have to. But I think the more fun ones are where they surprise you.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, that's very much so. Like even the Disc Golf is Life little promos I did with Dynamic Disc, that's obviously ESPN Sports Center. I mean, that's just straight from that, kind of the day, how the sports, how it would be if it really was integrated into sports, into the daily office life. And so it was kind of like, how do we everyday things, how does that conform to disc golf? So yeah, we had fun with those. Brainstorming sessions were fun, trying to figure out, oh, I just remember that one where he walks in and he does that. How do we do that for disc golf? And so it was fun coming up with those ideas. So
let me ask you something. Let me turn this interview around on you immediately now that we're less than 5 minutes in.
Yes.
What
typical
is something
Tyler, typical
creatively that you have done that you're just like really proud of? Just maybe disc golf is life is the answer. But when you look back on your career, you know, like we did this series or even just like that one project that I thought of. And I just was like really proud of how that came out.
The one that has, I believe, has had the most impact, or I felt has had the most impact on people liking dynamic discs, is the Is This Disc Right For You series.
Yeah.
That was just something, I was just like, how do we, and it's so simple, but it's like, how do we show people, because people keep buying the wrong disc. They keep buying a disc that's too much for them. Now, on one hand, you're like, oh, we want them to buy them up, buy all the discs, try them out, right?
But, suckers.
But we wanted to come across and say, hey, we want you to buy the right disc for you. So how do we demonstrate that? And well, it's like, let's have me throw it and Eric McCabe throw it, and you can see the difference. We'll talk about the difference. And I would say when people approached me, text me, or I'm sorry, Facebook message me or Instagram message me, whatever, that's always the one that comes up and says, I throw discs because I saw you throw it and I saw Eric throw it, or I saw Anthony throw it, or whoever we had on the episode. I think that has had the most impact on people liking dynamic discs. And I would, that's one of the most things I'm proud of.
I mean, it was an industry changing series, to not make it sound too grand, but at least in a small way, it was kind of the catalyst for a lot of other companies to do the same thing. I know I certainly thought of that series when I was trying to figure out how to demonstrate our discs. I would often think, well, we need to have a pro throw it and we need to have an average Joe throw it, you know, so everybody can kind of see what it does at different arm speeds. And, you know, I would think back to your guys's videos as being one of the first that I remember. Maybe it had been done in some way, but yours were definitely the ones I remembered.
Yeah, it was a fun series to do. There were times where I think at the beginning it was like, people aren't going to want to watch me throw it. And I even had some of the people in the company is like, people don't want to see you throw it. They want to see Eric McCabe throw it. But
that's awesome.
We learned that was a little bit different. What about yourself? What's something that stands out in your memory as a proud of project?
I did a few things that I'm really proud of that never went anywhere. And so those are kind of interesting, because I feel like I'll always look at those and be like, man, we really crushed that. And it's too bad, you know, I felt like it didn't really maybe get the hype that it deserved. Like Hunter and Trevor do this video and it's got 200,000 views. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know you know what I mean, because we've had this, you know, this conversation. It's just a weird thing with audiences and the internet and views and brands. And anyway, not to dwell on that too much, but I think I'm proud of the Most Fun Wins series. It was it was just, you know, silly challenge videos and disc reviews. It wasn't anything revolutionary, but it just was a long time. We did it for like 2 years and I made like, I don't know, 25 or 30 episodes of it. But yeah, probably the one that had the most impact, I guess, to put it in your terms, would be the Super Fair Comparison series that I did for DGA, which started with us reviewing a Hurricane and a Destroyer.
Right.
And it was just, again, like yours, like such a simple idea, right? The whole idea was to just set it up in a business-like tone that we're going to review two things head-to-head and then just make it so obvious that we were cheating for our product to win, you know? And I made 5-7 of those or something, and some of them are really, really fun. And that hurricane video was kind of one of the first ones that really got people talking about DGA and our presence kind of on DGN with our ads. And then we built on that, obviously, but I'm proud of those.
Now, what about the basket one, the basket where,
Oh, I took a shot at DD.
I know.
I got a message from Eric. It was a smile. It was just one emoji. What do you think the emoji was?
Probably the smirk one.
It wasn't even. No, it was a little more. It was a little more
aggressive
direct
than that.
It was like right in between. It was the
it
one.
It wasn't the finger, was it?
Basically, if I'm remembering right, I think it was just the emoji with the straight line, mouth. You know, just like.
So explain to our audience the commercial, what we're talking about, the concept.
I have a 10-year-old veteran that I have here in my yard, right? And so I did a super fair comparison between a very old veteran, which frankly, like the paint's chipping off of it, the wheel's broken, like it's all scratched up and stuff. And then I've got a like 6-month-old Mach 7, you know, that's just like gleaming. And so I just had these close up. You know what? In fact, we talked about the edit of that quite a bit. We had a couple different versions because we're like, I think this might be like way too aggressive, you know, like the zoom ins, the slow zoom ins on the chipping paint and stuff. So I remember we kind of tried to find a little bit of a balance, but basically it was, you know, just showing both the baskets side by side and then talking about how much better the 7 was. And in the last scene, I've got a rope, which you can clearly see me holding, right? And I just pull over the veteran, it just tips over randomly in the background, and I'm like, wow, that's a terrible basket, you know.
It was funny. I laughed at it. Now I can laugh even more at it, but I would say in the moment I was like, where is he going with this? What is going on?
Okay.
Not mad, but I was like, oh, so now that's where we're going. We're now going to compare ourselves, like blatantly compare. You know, obviously there's innuendos and stuff, but I mean
that's what I was trying to avoid, really, at the end of the day, because I never wanted it to be like put a new veteran up against a Mach 7 and then say ours is better.
Right.
Because like that's such a, you know, that's a different style of marketing.
Right.
I wanted to grab like the ugliest, janky ass old basket that I could find, you know, and hopefully in that regard, let people know that it's clearly us cheating, you know. To get the win, which was kind of the vibe of the whole
super fair comparison. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so but let's go back a little bit further. And I remember the way I first discovered you was, of course, you with your accent and your funny interview videos. What inspired that?
Well, that's a whole story, but I could probably sum it up in a few sentences, kind of like pre-midlife crisis, you know, turning 30 and had never really made funny videos that promoted me, which that's the whole story. That's the big long part behind that, you know, using my talents and giftings to kind of promote other things, but never really myself because that was looked at as like, you know, bad.
Right.
And when I turned 30, I'm like, man, I don't know, you know, like this just makes me really, really happy. And I think I could make a lot of other people happy, too. And so I'm like, I'm just going to make some stuff. And so literally one of the first things that I did after I made that decision when I was 30 was to steal Ian Anderson's commentary less video of Worlds that he put out. And I downloaded it and did 5 holes with a Russian accent and then thought, this isn't funny. And then I tried it again with a New Zealand accent. And I'm like, hey, this is kind of funny. Posted it, you know, 2 days go by, it gets 20 views and nothing. And then on day 3, it gets like 1,000 views. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then it went kind of crazy. And then I'm messaging Ian Anderson and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the best moment of my life. Turns out 5 years later, he's really not that great, honestly. Looking back, I was so naive that I even thought Ian Anderson, you know, was worth talking to.
Oh, the things you learn as time go by.
I know, right? He's just so, he's terrible because he's so nice. Like, you just can't, I'm just like, calm down with the compliments.
Okay, so yeah, that's right. It started out as commentary, but then it became, in a sense, it became its own character. And then you started to, was it shortly after that you started to travel to tournaments and then doing the interviews? Or was that, how long was that between that?
Frankly, I think that's just the part of me that you saw, because that was the only place that I really did it was DDO.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I would have always liked to have done that more, but having four kids, you know, and like travel is pretty tough. So DDO really was the, and I did it a couple times, but just going up there with interviews, I would have always loved to do more of that. I've talked to Sean and Jamie at DGN. And we were close at one point, but I'm like, let me do Between Two Ferns. Mm. Let me do Kunk on Earth. I don't know if you've seen that new Netflix.
I haven't seen that one, huh?
Oh my gosh, it's so brilliant. And it's the same idea, right? The interviewer is so dry and the questions are so absurd. I'm just like, let me do that. That would just be so, I can't imagine a more fun project.
You would be fantastic at it.
Get me in the room with Calvin Heimberg. And let me, without laughing, just make fun of him for about 20 minutes.
I think that'd be great. What did they? They didn't like it?
The world wanted to see it. I think I got Jamie. We were working on a different project until I recently left. But I think I was talking to him about, imagine me and Nico, you know, me and Nico in a room together. And then I just kind of started to ad lib some of the random interview questions we could do. And by the end of it, he was like, okay, I don't think... You'd have to convince way too many people, you know, that would be a good idea. It would be hard to have the vision to do that before you actually saw the finished product, which is kind of a big problem with a lot of my ideas. Well, hey, actually, I wanted to bring this up with you because case in point, I wanted to for 4 years. I really wanted DGA and Dynamic Discs.
Yes, you always push that.
To be rivals, and I always pushed that.
You always
pushed
that.
I had you, like, doing this thing, like, okay, yeah, like, I could see it, you know, when we would talk about it. And I had Scott, like, I don't know, yeah, I guess, you know, but that's the thing. I'm like, I think until those videos come out and the powers that be see the comments,
right,
that I know would happen, 100% guarantee the fans would love that.
Yeah.
It's really hard to kind of get pushed into the production phase.
I feel like it's one of those things where you watch movie documentaries and they're like, so many executives were just like, no, that's a stupid movie. No, that screenplay craze, yeah, whatever. And then it becomes like Gone with the Wind or something like that. You know, it's just like amazing. Yeah, yeah. But no one else could see it except the creator can see that this is going to be a great. I will admit, like, I thought part of me was like, that might catch on. That might. But then every time I would bring it up to the powers that be there, their thinking was always, well, we're bigger than DGA, so who's really going to benefit, them or us? And then it was just, it never made it past like one or two meetings or something like that. So, but
it's like, okay, it's like the, I used to own a restaurant, right? And it's a small town and we had a cafe. There was a cafe exactly like us right across the street and they hated us. And I was always over there, like I'm eating in their restaurant. I'm trying to talk to the owner, you know, and my whole point with her the whole time is we need to do more collaboration because it's not you versus me. It's you and me as downtown restaurants versus McDonald's Wendy's out on West Central, you know, and that's the same vision that I have with things like that. Like who's bigger, who stands to benefit? Yes, we both do. Like, it wouldn't be DD or DGA gets more or the other. We would both get a lot,
right?
You know, and then the people who are missing out would be anybody who didn't do that project with us. As you can see, I'm still passionate about it.
Did you ever pitch it to any other manufacturer?
Yeah. In fact, I guess since I'm gone, I was doing it with Lone Star right at the end.
Yeah.
And me and Josh were having a ton of fun and we had plans to go bigger with it, but we were really on the same page about all that, and we had lots of phone calls, and we were planning out our tweets even at each other, and the fans, yeah, fans were eating it up.
Now, I'm sure you guys have heard, but I gotta tell you, remind you, I have a Clash Discs online store, CoolDaddyDiscGolf.com. I have pretty much a full inventory of Clash discs that you can shop. I also have the Disc Golf Answer Man Whale Sack. I have a few little accessories you can get with Clash from Clash Discs. So if you are looking to fill your bag with more Clash discs, make sure you check out CoolDaddyDiscGolf.com. Appreciate you guys. So, okay, so you did mention that you've had a change. So what has been going on the last year or so? What's going on? I mean, you as of up until when you were still working at DGA, correct?
Yeah, a week ago. You know, June was my last month. So, and then Monday, 2 days from now, is when I start my next thing, which is not, it's not an exciting thing. It's not disc golf related. It's not marketing or creative content related. It is a typical blue collar service industry sales job.
All right.
It was just the right timing for, you know, again, back to the four kids from 6 to 10, they're starting to wear Jordans and pretty soon they're going to be asking for 1997 Toyota Corollas to drive. And those things aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
You know? Yeah. So I gotta, you know, we had to make some hard decisions, but
yeah. So what, yeah. So tell me a little bit about the last little bit with DGA. Was that was it just not going anywhere for you, for them, or, you know, I don't know what you can or can't talk about.
I'd say it was going well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, that it made it a little more difficult when it finally came time to actually kind of let them know and start talking about it, because I mean, DGA's on the rise, like it has been for 4 years. Like there's been a really steady growth that I'm really proud of, pun intended. And they're doing great. And we were doing, yeah, things are moving up and onward. So from one point of view, it didn't make sense for me to leave because, you know, DGA was growing a lot. But from another, I felt a little bit more okay leaving, just because I feel like I had done a lot of really good things that I'm proud of, and put DGA in a little bit better position than when I started.
Yeah.
And my services maybe weren't as needed now as they were a couple years ago.
And you were doing their social media management and obviously creating ads and things like that. But weren't there some other things like behind the scenes that that you did that we wouldn't necessarily know had the Tyler stamp on it, but it was stuff that you did?
Yeah, frankly, I'd say maybe 80%+ of what I did was, you know, traditional office type work.
Gotcha.
That weren't public facing.
Right.
And then, yeah, I would be creating content and graphics and social media stuff that people would see. But a lot of what I did was just kind of the nuts and bolts of helping the company run.
Yeah.
Which was a challenge. You know, I would have always liked to have been doing more of the outward facing stuff, but it just kind of is what it is. You know, what, none of us are, Coca-Cola, you know, none of us are ESPN. And so there's not 200 employees to distribute tasks to. So everybody, you know, needs to do what they need to do to keep the machine going.
Right. So how did that feel? 'Cause I remember when I left Dynamic Discs, disc golf had been such a huge part of my life, that I felt a little lost, even though, I felt like I was building a legacy there. And then now, it, you know, it's like, now it, did the legacy stop? Am I going to keep doing it?
It was instantly erased, by the way.
Instantly.
Your legacy?
Just gone.
No,
wiped.
Just gone. Immediately right. Gone. Yeah.
So
nothing you did mattered.
Did you go through any of that type of thinking, or was it more like upward and onward because you made the choice because you needed to think of your family?
Well, to be completely fair, it's kind of a forest for the trees situation because I'm, you know, less than 10 days out of it
yeah.
right now. But I will say, creatively, I felt a giant weight off my shoulders that I didn't really know was there, because this is all I've done for 15 or 20 years is like make content and branding and being the spokesperson for companies. And so I'm standing on my back porch about a month ago, and I just had the thought, like, wait, that means I won't need to be making videos and like editing stuff. And oh my gosh. And it just like, I just felt like 100 pounds lighter.
Wow.
Which would put me at about 125 pounds, you know.
Good to know.
Yeah. And it was great. I didn't need, so yeah, that's been kind of, now I've edited a ton over the last month. You know, I really wanted, I asked for 4 weeks. The new company was like, can you start next week? I'm like, how about a month from now? So I really wanted to end well, you know, and I had a lot of projects on my desk and wanted to, so I've done, it's been a sprint, you know, to the finish line, but now I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm like, wow, I feel really relieved creatively to not have that be part of my job now.
Well, but do you think you'll, once that has sunk in, as you say, because you're only 10 days out, do you foresee, I know you can't foresee the future, but do you foresee, knowing yourself, do you foresee you missing certain aspects of it?
I foresee the itch coming back. I've already kind of felt it a little. And I'm really excited about that, because the me of 4 or 5 years ago was when I had a spontaneous, you know, intrusive thought, like creative idea, I would make it.
Right.
But I haven't had that, honestly, for a couple of years, because like, you know, you get to that place where if you have 7 videos on your desk that you need to have done, why would you go film an 8th video?
Right.
Just for fun, you know? So I've already had a few ideas and almost like gone and done them. Like, wow, this is interesting. I don't have those things pop into my head anymore. And now I am having them. That's really fun. And this thing, I want to promote this in a minute too.
Yeah,
this
we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll definitely get to that, since I know you wore it on purpose. But yeah.
ABC,
yeah.
You know.
So you brought up an interesting point, because so do you feel like there was some constraint or on your creativity because you were in a sense being forced to be creative?
Wow, what a terrible way to phrase that. How dare you? Like, now tell me the truth. Since they were jerks and made you,
you know what I'm saying,
evil,
though,
malicious right, way, yeah. Give up your God-given creativity.
Hey, that's how, isn't that how your interviews do it? They yeah. Slide it under there.
Objection, leading the witness, Your Honor. I think that what you're saying is essentially true. There's just, it's like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, right? The Sherlock Holmes guy. He says your brain's an attic and you can only put so much furniture there.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's, I definitely don't have more capacity than anybody else.
Right.
You know,
I just remember at times
filled up with other stuff.
For me, I remember at times at Dynamic Dislike, there, I'd be sitting down on a Friday planning out the next week or the next 2 weeks or something like that, knowing that a new disc was coming out. And it's like, yes, we have to have a disc review. Yes, we have to have nice pictures. Yes, I've got to have this particular, you know, there's certain things you're like, you know, that are staples that you have to have out so people know about the disc. But then it's like, how do I've got to create something new and interesting. What do I do? And you're sitting down, and sometimes I would just go on YouTube and I'd watch people that had nothing to do with disc golf. I'd watch their mm-hmm. YouTube videos to try to get ideas. And I would think, no, there's no way I could make that into disc golf. How could I do, you know? So sometimes that's what I mean by like forced creativity. It's like, you know, I don't want to name names, but like my boss, everybody knows who my boss was, would be like
Danny.
Danny yeah. Lindahl would be like, what are we doing here? No, but it would be like, there would be sort of that pressure of like, how do we come with something new, or how do we promote something? Do I just simply just continually follow the template of promoting a disc, or do we think of something new? And so there are times where it felt like it was a, I was forced to be creative. But then you'd have times where, like we mentioned before, where you're just, you're watching a TV show and you're like, ah, I could, if I did that, I could say this about disc golf. I could introduce a product like that, and then it would come to me. And so I guess that's what I meant by, like you said, yes, there are times where, like even right now, Clash Discs, I'm creating YouTube videos, disc reviews for my channel, just so I have that for my website and just to have out there. And I already know that I have 5, 6, 7 molds that I could just simply go out and do that. But it's like, I get to the point where like, so I've already done 8. Now I've got to do 5 more. How do I do it differently? Or do I just continue to do it because it's what's worked? It's what gets people to know about the product. And it becomes almost less create. Like when I did the first 3, I was like, this is sweet. This is awesome. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw like this. I'm going to put the camera here. I'm going to have a drone up here. Now it's like, okay, so did I do the drone? Oh, yeah, I got the drone. Did I say this? Oh, yeah, I did say that about the disc. And it becomes more work than
kind of template.
Yeah, the template. And so it becomes a little more, I don't know what the word for it is, but it just becomes more like work, and where the first part is more fun, and it makes it a little easier to do.
I that's interesting. I think when you're processing all that, I think to say what I'm honestly thinking is to try and be confident here and actually, you know, compliment myself, which is that I think I'm just really good at that part.
Okay.
Like that's just such a big function of how my brain, or that's such a main function of my brain since a very, very young age, is just that ideating part of the creative process. And so I felt the imposter syndrome for a while. Me and my cousin were doing business consulting for a while, where my main role in that was to come up with creative ideas for companies to help them with their brand. And we did quite a few of those meetings, and they only lasted an hour. So there's quite a bit of pressure to try and take in and understand somebody's brand and then offer them, you know, some ideas that will actually help in that short amount of time. And I'd go into it every single time thinking, this is so dumb. I've never even been to college. And by the end, I was like, man, I wish we had another hour, you know, because like I had more ideas. I'd email them later. And so I guess to just be confident with who I am, that the idea part has always just been forced or not.
Yeah.
Something for whatever reason. Hey, and by the way, as an aside, anytime that you're struggling you want to do something in a creative way for Clash, let's get on a call, because I think that's fun too. And I promise in 20 or 30 minutes, like, okay, here's the problem. And then 30 minutes later, we've got 4 or 5 things that we, you know, could do.
Yeah. No, that'd be great. That'd be great actually to do, have a resource for that. No, so, but no, okay.
I'm over it.
You're over it already.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be fun.
It's going to be work. That's the whole point of what I was bringing up. It's just, this stuff sucks. It's I absolutely get nothing out of it. So now you did mention that you said some ideas are coming to you. Do you have any plans to have a creative outlet? Since you say that this new job doesn't sound like it's a creative outlet.
No, this new job is I just go to work and I talk to people and then I come home. I mean, there's nothing, you know? So yeah, I would be very surprised, especially considering the stuff that's already been happening in the last week, you know, I'd be very surprised if I didn't do stuff. I've thought it'd be kind of fun to revive disc golf comedy. Mm. It'd be kind of fun to have a comedic review channel. That's a niche. Like I don't see people doing that. And I think I could do that. Even if people were, I think I could do it very well compared to anybody else who was, you know, but like companies would need to know, like, hey, send me whatever you want, but I'm gonna, like that would be in the fine print. Like it's never really truly bad, but I'm gonna do I'm going to take big swings, and there's going to be stuff that you probably would have shot down in the planning phase on paper. You know what I mean? Kind of like what we already
Why,
talked
do
about.
You need their permission?
And I think that, like, if I'm going to have an arrangement with somebody, I want them to know going in. I would hate for somebody to, like, looking back on it, be like, you suck. That was not at all what we
Right, know, but why? To. I mean, there's plenty of YouTube channels that just scrape footage and give their editorial on
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I didn't do it, like, collaboratively with the company, right, if just, I just, like, got a bag and did a thing and... That might be a good way to start because, I mean, of course I'm a narcissist, but I don't have, you know, like, I don't have a big, like, giant brand where I could just make calls and say, hey, send me stuff, you know, and all.
Well, my thinking is that.
Maybe the first few is I just do some.
And it's kind of a proof of concept. In other words, you do a few, get a few, some traction on it, and then send it to somebody and say, hey, this is what I do. Yes, I'm going to come at your brand or I'm going to come at your product, but. Yep. As you can see, it's well received, and all it does is bring more awareness to your product or brand.
We were close. I was doing because I did that with Grip. I did a backpack. I did a BX2 review that did really well, and it was just ridiculous. You know, it was just super silly the whole time. Although it was one of my top five favorite lines that I've ever written. The intro to that video was the last time I paid this much money for a backpack, it was filled with drugs.
That's good.
And then it went to the intro and I'm just like, oh man. But we had stuff. I was talking to like Upper Park and then Grip about some other. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That's a big rabbit trail, but I feel like that's something that I would have a lot of fun with. Like,
you could almost do the TikTok or the Instagram reel green screens that I see people do. Where it's just the commercial or the ad or something behind you and you're giving your 2-3 liner commentary. It's a 15-20 second video.
Yeah.
And it becomes almost like a PDGA Rodman type of thing where it just kind of slowly catches on, people sharing it. I don't know. Or have you followed Rockstar? Do you follow Rockstar on Instagram Reel? He does. No. Now, this isn't the same, but it's my thinking is... Anyway, he does voiceovers for pet videos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I follow him on TikTok, actually.
Okay. And so, you know, he just started out doing that. And now it's become how he raises money for a movie he's putting together or something like that. Yeah. I'm sure. So, anyway, I think that'd be
kind of
funny.
I mean, I've definitely done in that vein, like the whole I get the Aussie man comparison a ton just because of the accent, you know, and just kind of. Silly commentary on things. That'd be like a different series on the same channel because I guess my original idea was just like talking headshot, me standing in front of the camera with a product and I'm just being funny about it.
I got you. That sounds funny. You made it sound funny.
No, I don't like it anymore.
Not anymore.
I'm over that too. I'm great at ideas. 10 minutes later, I like pitch my new brand and we're both like, that's a sucky idea, man. I don't
10
know.
Minutes later sounds more like 10 seconds later. The way this is going. Okay, so tell me about Kindness Mob.
The
Kindness Mob.
Yeah, so the Kindness Mob is something that I started like January 1st of this year. Kind of, I guess, a New Year's resolution sort of thing. But I just like, remember that narcissistic bit we talk about? I don't know if you get this way. I want to ask you before I get into talking about the Kindness Mob.
Okay.
Do you ever get just like so sick of yourself?
Oh, you're just leaving it at that, are you? That's it, right?
No, like being the... hang on.
Do you ever just hate yourself?
Hang on.
And
answer honestly, please. Oh, wait.
Oh, I've seen the fly like at least 3 or 4 times.
I know.
Zipping over your head.
Like you're the face... You're in all the videos. You're kind of the little mini celebrity. You're the people talking about you.
Does it make me a narcissist to say, no, I never get sick of that?
No, probably just healthy. You're probably just a little bit more like mentally healthy than I am.
Right. No, I never. Now, of course, I judge myself the way I looked, the way I said something. I should have said this. Oh, this would have been funnier. This would have been a better reaction. You should have skipped that cheeseburger the last three nights. You know, stuff like that. But yeah. I can't believe you haven't torn into that yet.
I'm skipping this one right now, actually.
But I enjoy seeing myself in video.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like,
my therapist would have would say otherwise.
I just get tired. I get tired of me, you know?
What do you get tired of?
I don't know. It's just
like
me,
looking,
you know?
At you, hearing yourself.
It's the same old. I guess if I was like stuck on a deserted island with somebody, right?
Or a dessert like, island. I would love to be stuck on a dessert island.
Yeah, that's a different. It's like that person. Like after a while, call it like 35 years, you're gonna just be really tired. Their sense of humor is the same. Their face, their voice, their ideas about everything. Like you're just gonna be like, could you just go live over there for a while? You know, like
really? No, I don't get tired. Like just recently. So, okay. I'm sure people know I play pickleball. They know I love my pickleball. Mm. So there's a group of guys that I've gotten to know where every Saturday we go to a park and we play pickleball, and I'll see them sometimes at Monday night. And now we've become like the movie group too, where we've seen a few Marvel movies or together and stuff like that. Anyway, I can't remember. We're on a group chat and all of a sudden someone said, who is this? And it was like a Cool Daddy Slick Breeze interview from 10, 12 years ago. And I was like, that's pretty cool that they somehow stumbled across that, because I talked about disc golf and used to do media a lot for disc golf. I watched the video and I was like, man, my lisp was horrible. But I thought it was cool that they found me. I like me. I like me being on video.
Good for you.
You obviously do not like yourself on video.
I guess I do like me. I do like
who I am. It doesn't sound like it.
I do like who I am and how my brain works. And I love what, you know, happiness that I can bring to people.
Right.
I just kind of feel like somebody with a like a big personality, you know, if you're around them all the time, I'm like, that person can just be a lot and I can get kind of tired of them. So I kind of
am, and you already do like, it for, so you do
say
it for,
that to
for
myself.
Them.
Yeah. Like I'm like, it's my inner monologue. Like, dude, you're kind of like annoying me today. You know, like, could you just like chill out?
I guess I've never been in there.
Okay, well, that's well. We, you know, then there you go. We're each like whole people. It's cool to see kind of our strengths and things we struggle with. But full circle, around the first of this year, I'm like, I really want to do more creative stuff that is just like not selling something or, you know, promoting a product, and definitely not promoting me. And it was also at a time where I'm just like so tired of the typical rhythms of negativity on social media. I have been, we all have been at different levels for a long time, but I'm just like, is there something practical that I could do to help that?
Yeah.
Because people are just trolls and they just can say whatever they want. And it's just like, if you see somebody in the grocery store, you don't just immediately bash them for all of their ideology and say hateful, terrible things to them. You know, you're like a decent human most of the time. But on the internet, apparently, it's completely different.
Well, I do that on the inside. Now, I don't do it on the outside. But
that's
I completely
at least one step towards right. A healthy human being. And that's an important step that most people don't have. So I had this just really simple idea about like starting a channel that was filled with anonymous people like me who would just go to other channels anonymously and like comment nice things. And I had in my mind, I was like, imagine after like 6 months, if we could have like a group of maybe like 100 people who we could just point to any video on the internet and all of a sudden you've got 100 comments. Because as a creator, Bobby, you know that even like 10 comments sometimes can like make your week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're posting stuff that consistently has like 1 to 3 comments and one of those is bad, you know, it's like you get 10 people in there saying, this is awesome. Good job. Thank you for this. That can just like
all
totally
the time that one comment.
Yes.
Takes you from soaring in the sky to just bottoming out on the ocean floor.
It does. It takes like 1,000 to overcome the one negative one, right?
Yes.
So I'm like, let's go find those 1,000 people. Well, it went viral and people like were way more into it than I thought.
Wow.
You know? And so we were like in the first week already at that consistently having 100 people per day number. Like 2 days ago, we did a... Somebody nominated a girl who was just singing, playing her guitar, and her video had 3 comments, right? And I'm like, this is such a great video. And so this is better than normal, what I'm about to tell you. But I just made a video where I'm like, this is her. Here's her username. Don't tag us. You know, this is anonymous, but let's all go watch the video and then say nice things. And then her video went viral and she got like 2,000 nice comments and hundreds of new followers and stuff. And I'm just like, this is such a win. I'm the primary benefactor of this for sure, because I get to like, I'm like riding at the front of the happy train, you know? So it's just so fulfilling to me. But I can see this like very real world impact of positivity that's happening to the people that we mob, and maybe more importantly, the people that are actually participating in this. Because our slogan is kindness for everyone always. And I love this because this is not how I was raised, sadly. You would think on the outset, if you knew my background, that it would be that, but it's really not. It's really more like kindness for, you know, probably not them, you know, because like that's a pretty evil worldview. So nah, or these people aren't living exactly how we agree with, so that doesn't really apply to them, you know? And so it's kind of a radical statement for me personally, kindness for everyone always. But the more I've said it over the last 6 months, the more I've just fallen in love with that idea. Like, there is nobody that I can't say something kind to.
Oh, yeah.
In any situation, there's always a way to be kind, even if I completely disagree with everything that person is doing. So it's been kind of stretching for a lot of our members, I guess. Anyway, all right.
I think that's fantastic.
That's the kindness mob. It's only on TikTok, which is kind of a problem of scalability. If you're a marketing guy, I think about these things. I'm like, man, I would love to do the same thing on Facebook. Gosh, talk about a platform that needs that. Reddit, yeah. Instagram.
Oh, Reddit needs it terribly.
Reddit needs it, right?
I remember, it may have been around the time that Trump either became president or the whole, you know, the campaign was happening the first time he ran for presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just my news feed was just full of just people trashing either side. It was just the whole
either side.
Yep. Was just bad. And I remember starting a hashtag brighten up my newsfeed, and I would just posting cute pictures of puppies, and yes. I would just say I'm sick of all this whatever, I'm posting cute pictures of puppies, brighten up my newsfeed.
Do you remember the screen recording that I took of you? It was around that same time. I'm scrolling Facebook. Negative, negative, negative.
Yes!
Negative. It was something about like a pizza or something. I don't remember, but it was just like, you were just like in a happy little cloud, you know, and everybody else was just dark and dismal. And so I scrolled back up like 10 posts and I took a screen recording. I'm like, I want you all to see this, you know. It's just like, you suck. People who think this are ridiculous. Anybody who disagrees with this, you guys are more... Hey, what's your guys' favorite? You know, just like, and then just like Bobby, here comes Bobby. Which is exactly, it sounds like that was, you know, by design.
Yes, yes. I was purposely saying, I'm sick of reading all this junk in my whatever. So I would imagine you are too. You could be too. Yep. So I'm going to add something to your feed that's going to brighten up. And so I did it for maybe about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I kind of just stopped. So, but yeah, I think that's fantastic. So, okay, so you say it's on TikTok and you don't. So is Kindness Mob like its own account, or it's just under your account, or how does that
No. work? I still do I try and do funny things randomly on my account.
Yeah.
But the Kindness, it's at the Kindness Mob on TikTok. And it's definitely the main thing I do on there. The challenge of scalability is that we're mobbing specific videos, specific creators. So I can't really make a video that we could post to all of our platforms. So I would have, if I wanted it on any other platform, I would have to times 100% my effort for every platform we wanted to add.
What are you doing? Are you just thumbing through, looking for?
Well, now it's almost 9 out of 10 of them are nominations.
Oh.
Because we've got kind of this army of positivity trolls, right? And they're just scrolling their feed. And if they see a video, the criteria is pretty loose, but we say, you know, you can't self-nominate. And we're looking for people that don't have a ton of followers already. Those are really the only two, you know, thoughts. But you're scrolling your For You page and you see a video that is cool, or maybe somebody that needs encouragement and it's only got a few comments. Well, you copy the username and you send it to my account. So I have a lot to choose from every day now. But in terms of what I'm doing, it's kind of like what you said with the Instagram reel. It's I take a few screenshots, I do a green screen thing, and then I have an intro and an outro. So it takes about 30 minutes to do every day, which sometimes feels easy. And frankly, sometimes even with all the benefit it's causing, sometimes still feels like a grind. But it's been worth it for sure.
You've got quite a few videos out there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. You're on it now?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Let me pull up the spreadsheet. I've been trying to keep track loosely of...
Did you just say the spreadsheet?
The spreadsheet. This is a big deal for me if you know me, because I'm not a spreadsheet kind of guy. Okay, so we've done... Oh, that's cool. This is good data. We've done 111 mobs.
Yeah.
Since January 1st, with an average of 300 comments per mob. So we're averaging every single day somebody's getting 300 kind comments on their video that probably had less than 10 comments to start, you know? And they're okay, so let me finish this. So for a total of 33,000 positive comments that the Kindness Mob has helped motivated since January 1, which if I don't do anything else for the rest of my life, Bobby, I'm so honored to have been a part of that.
This is pretty cool. Yeah, you got a couple of videos that have, 43,600 views on that one, 49,700. Mm-hmm. Thousands, and then you've got some that's got 5,000, 2,000, 1,000 views.
It goes all over the place. It's cool to see the views that the people we mob get,
yeah,
too. And the comments, theirs do really well as well. Like I said, it's win, win, win.
How is it? Okay, so let me ask you this, since you have the marketing mind. Is it easy, hard? Not hard. I don't know how many different ways I'm going to say that. Is it easy or is it hard to, because your initial, the beginning was because you saw so much negativity. So you're like, let's spread kindness.
Yep.
And you do it. You see it kind of catch on. How hard is it to not say, oh, as a marketer, I should do this to make it catch on even more? And do you lose the initial reason for doing it?
No, that's all part of who I am. And that's all just me using my skill set to support the idea that I'm passionate about.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't detract. Like spending a lot of time on the logo, running sponsored ads, posting teasers, you know, calls to action, influencer reviews of the channel, like all of those things, you know, that I would do for a company to like sell a widget. I just, I'm doing because I'm good at those things, but I just feel like so freaking good about it. Yeah. Like I feel so okay with like demanding that people follow this channel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would always feel a little bit like in the back of my mind, like if I'm selling a car, or if I'm selling a disc or a basket, you know, like it's money, you know, and people have it. But this is a free thing that's going to take you 2 minutes. So stop what you're doing and go tell this person, you know, something nice right now. Like it's been one of the easiest things for me to like push as a salesperson my whole life, which has been kind of fun.
That is cool. I like that. That's pretty interesting. Well, good job with that. Now, how far, is it one of those things you're just going to, however big it gets, or do you have any?
Yeah. My goals for it, like I said, kind of the 6 month mark we hit in like the first couple weeks.
Wow.
And I didn't have anything really outside, because the long-term dream was, imagine having 100 people that we all met at the same place every day. And we said, okay, let's, who are we going to say kind things to today? And that was the dream, and we're there, you know? And so now it's just a matter of keeping it going. And I love that we have a store and we have like merch and things to sell to keep the lights on, but my costs are like $50 a month, you know? So if I don't sell things, it's not even that much, probably it's like 35.
But now let me ask you this, and this is totally segue, but I'm curious, do you do on-demand print with your merchandise?
Yeah, I haven't been super happy with it, but it's just kind of necessary.
Yeah, you know, the way to hold that much inventory and not.
Yeah, I can't be messing with shipping and stuff like that. But I wish I had my mug here. I had a couple Kindness Mob mugs, which I notoriously have been saying Kindness Mubs in our videos. I just keep doing that. I'm just like, and go get your Kindness Mob mug, you know. And I'm just like trying to,
you know,
and the paint comes off of those and like. It says dishwasher safe, but they're not.
They're not.
Not
someone
at all.
Lied somewhere. Yeah. An idea popped in my head that I thought would be interesting is I've seen videos where YouTube creators will interview or go to what's the word for when you assemble people and you like a demonstration or
like a flash mob or a
no where like they're. Either they're protesting or they're just rallying for something. Mm. And the YouTube creator who is on the opposite side of their message will come up and begin to interview them to stir stuff, right?
Yeah.
Could you be that guy that walks up and says, hey, so you're here for this? I think that's awesome. I think it's great that you have this conviction and that you were rallying for this, and I wish you the best, or something. I mean, that would be kind of interesting, their reaction, because immediately they're going to think you're probably going to try to cause some kind of controversy, but you're actually there to compliment them.
We've done one live mobbing.
Yeah.
And it was people loved it. It was a huge success, and I had a ton of fun, but it was a lot to kind of coordinate.
Right.
If this was my full-time gig, I would do that. I would do that at least once a week.
That would
it was
fun.
For my birthday this last in February for my birthday. I told everybody, hey, this is what I want for my birthday. Send me money and I'm going to take 100% of it out and give it to people. Like that's what I want for my birthday.
Oh.
And we got like $500. And so I was able to just go out. We just went to we went to an Aldi. And a buddy was filming me and we just like started paying for people's food and telling them about the Kindness Mob. And that was like, that was a blast already by itself. But then we met this lady and it's a long story, but we spent like the rest of the evening with her and it was crazy. We gave the rest of the money to her and we're just at like end up crying together and
wow.
Just like hugging each other. And it was just like this. It's just like, that's why I was made the way I am.
That's cool.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it right there. I've never felt that like 100%-ness about any of my work before the Kindness Mob.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. I think I'm just kind of putting that, I'm just kind of verbally processing that also for the first time here.
Yeah. You're kind of like an angel.
You are. Thank you for this opportunity to process it. Oh, I thought you said I'm kind of like an
angel. No, you're an angel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, I am. Thank you for that opportunity.
So it's kind of like a Mr. Beast type of...
It is kind of, yeah. Well, that, especially that one, yeah, where we were just kind of going out and giving money to people, which, like, I don't know. That's a whole other beast. But
can we call you just the Beast? We'll just fun. The Beast.
I could be Mrs. Beast.
Mrs. Beast. Ms.
Maybe like Ms. Beast.
Ms. Beast.
I love Jimmy and I love his vision. If you've watched any of his interviews about his channel, like how his channel started is a lot of the same vibes.
Yeah.
You know, like where his sponsorships and he's like, no, I don't want any of that. I just want you to give me $10,000 so I can go give it to somebody.
Yeah.
Really pure-hearted guy, and I don't know what Beast has like done. I don't watch all that anymore, but I love the start of it all.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, that's cool, Tyler. I honestly didn't know that was happening. So I don't keep up with Kindness. I'm pure evil. I just keep up with all the evil stuff.
Well, it's kind of weird that it's only on TikTok. You know, it's kind of hard to. It's a little bit inaccessible for people who aren't there.
That's true. My feed is full of people not liking Bud Light anymore. So that's kind of
yeah. Those people need to be mobbed. Like,
yes, they do.
So bad.
So many people. So, well, very cool. All right. Well, I'll let you get back to what you're doing in life. I do appreciate you being on the show, Tyler. I always have fun conversing with you. And I think this Kindness Mob is a much, much needed thing for life, social media, so much the whole key, what do they call it, keyboard warriors hiding mm-hmm. behind their keyboard and spreading negativity. You know, it is mm-hmm. interesting that when I listen to motivational podcasts or watch, you know, different videos, they always point to human nature is to go to the negative. Our mind, for some reason, our brain finds that as a protection or a knee-jerk mechanism that happens, that we automatically go to the negative. So it's almost like you have to work to be positive, which seems weird. But so I think it's great that you've made an avenue for it to be easier for someone to go, oh, I have an opportunity to be nice to someone. Let me do that. And I think that's what the world needs more of.
So. It's a little bit of just the collection of those people.
Yeah.
Because 80% of the comments on our videos is, oh my gosh, I've done this for years. You know, like this is what I've been trying to do. But it's so hard to fight a wave of negativity as just one voice, right? So there's been a unique, fresh sense of like power and influence in all of us doing it together.
Yeah, it reminds me of the things I've heard where people say, and just because it's a industry that pops in my head, it's like we're so quick to tell the waiter, waitress something that went wrong with our order, yet when everything goes like it should, nobody says anything.
Yes. Right.
Right? Why can't we say, hey, I appreciate you bringing me, you know, thanks for filling up my water, not letting me get, you know, run out of water. But ho, when they don't bring my water and I've got ice, I'm like, where is the waitress? You know, so.
And also your last two sentences are the best book on business management ever written.
Ice? What did I say? What was my last?
You're like, dang it. I wish I had read that book.
I know.
No, just like managers of people take note to Bobby's words here. Like we're all so quick to point out the one thing that goes wrong, but you didn't say anything about the last 17 things that they did right.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. I remember one mentor had told me, what was it? The whole compliment sandwich. You know, you always want to,
I thought that was my mom's thing.
No, that's.
I literally thought Christine Brickley made that up. She told me that like 30 years ago.
Yeah. Or no, the way he'd do it, he would also equate it to is a bank. In other words, when we discipline our kids, think of it as a withdrawal, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how much have you deposited into them so that when you withdraw, you're not negative? So that's all they think about is what they did wrong. But have you made enough deposits so that when you have to, because you have to, I mean, you have to with kids, you have to with your employees, there are times you have to point out things that aren't working right, but have you deposited enough positive things so where the negative doesn't wipe them out? And so that's a very important thing to do. So I think that's great that you're trying to wipe out the negativity and deposit into people's lives in a positive way. Cool. All right. Thanks again, Tyler. Appreciate you.
Thanks, sir.
And hopefully we'll have you back on the show down the road.
I'd be honored.
Yeah, we know more about you. Know what's going on with the kindness mob.